Welcome to installment 276 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss positive commandment 245, the commandment regarding the laws of acquisition, kinyan, or mekach u'memkar, buying and selling. As we have been discussing the last few days, the law of mekach u'memkar, buying and selling, consists primarily of determining what actions are necessary and what actions are sufficient to accomplish a transference of ownership of any particular object. The law derives from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14, which states, "V'chisim kuru mimkar la misecho v'gemer." When you sell something to your neighbor, to your friend, since the Torah says that there is a way of selling something to your friend, this must mean that there are certain conditions and certain ways of achieving this transference of ownership. What are the acts which will accomplish this transference? In Hebrew, they are known as kinyonim, ways of acquiring something. And there are different laws governing acquisition for different types of transactions. When it comes to sale, there is a difference between movable objects, metaltelin, and unmovable objects such as land, karka, or a house. So too, there are other laws governing when acquisition is accomplished. When you have found something which has no owner in the middle of a forest or in the middle of the street, or when someone is given a gift, when is the official transfer of ownership? All of these details, when and under what conditions the transference has been accomplished, is this law, the positive commandment 245. The reason we are learning it again, even though we discussed it in the days which corresponded to the laws of selling in the Rambam, Hilchas Mechira, is that now we are learning the laws of Hilchas Zechiyah u'Matana, when someone has acquired something from hefker, from ownerless property or an ownerless object, or the laws governing acquisition of gifts. Therefore, this law applies there also, and we are learning it presently. First, the Rambam describes in Sefer HaMitzvahs the ways of acquiring unmovable objects or metaltelin. And the Rambam makes a clear distinction between biblical law and rabbinic law. The verse says, "Ikonu miyada misecha." The same verse continues that when you have acquired something from the hand of your neighbor. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, which says, "From the hand of your neighbor," implies that you must physically move it. You must pull it from his hand to your hand, or from his property to yours, or at least pull it towards you. This is known as mishicha, and we see that it is required. However, the Rambam says this is not a requirement of the Bible. It's not a biblical requirement. And the fact that it says in the Chumash, "Miyada misecha," is evidently just a hint. It doesn't mean to say that Torah law requires moving the object for a change of ownership. Officially, giving money would be enough. Once you have given the money, even though the object has not been moved, by biblical law it belongs to you. However, the sages required, for the reason as we discussed in yesterday's portion, the sages required you should pull it as well, bring it towards you. And the Rambam proved this by quoting a statement of the Talmud, just like our sages established Mashicha in matters of sale, of buying and selling, so too, in order for a shamer, a watchman, to acquire responsibility for an object, he also must pull it towards him, he must have Mashicha. What do we see from the statement? That just like our sages established Mashicha, this is the part which interests the Rambam for our purpose, that we see that the sages established this whole process of Mashicha, but by Torah law, it would be enough merely to give money. And so too the Rambam says other types of acquisitions, such as Mesira, giving permission to a person to acquire an object, and Hagbah, lifting it up, these are also rabbinic requirements. But by Torah law, money would be enough. When it comes to land, the Rambam says, we have strictly biblical requirements governing acquisition. We have the law of shtar, which is a document that when one writes a document indicating that the ownership has been transferred to another party, that is sufficient. And so too chazaka, physically demonstrating one's ownership over the property through making an improvement or an adjustment in it and so on, this is also enough to acquire the property and is of biblical origin. The Rambam guides us for further details regarding these laws to the first chapter of Kiddushin, chapters 4 and 8 of Baba Metzia, and chapters 3 through 7 of Tractate Baba Basra. As we have mentioned in previous days' portions, we are giving more details and more explanation every day of the significance of kinyan, acquisition, and the specific forms of acquisition according to Hasidic philosophy. And we will continue Amir Hashem now. As we explained previously, there are two types of kinyan. There is mashicha, pulling an object, and then kesef, giving the money. And the custom is that normally first we do mashicha, first we pull the object, and only later on do we give the money for the object. And as we explained in previous days, that mashicha, moving the object from one place to another, signifies a person's desire to raise themselves above the limitations of this world and develop a love for Hashem. Through their own effort, meditation, they move themselves up to a higher level, move themselves to another place, so to speak, up to spiritual realization. And this is Mashicha. That happens first. Afterwards, when Hashem has seen your efforts, that you have raised yourself up to another plane of existence, then Hashem gives you the kesef. Since He is Kena HaKel, He buys everything literally, as we say in the first blessing of Shemana Esra. He gives the money, He gives us the kesef. What is kesef? What is the money He gives? This is the gift Hashem gives from above. He gives a special type of av rabba, a love which any human being could not reach by their own power. Rather, it's a heavenly gift, a gift from above, higher than a person could ever be capable of reaching. This is the idea of kesef. And we see, incidentally, that only according to Chassidus, do we see the clear depth of meaning behind the exact phraseology used by the Anshe Knesset Hagdela. When they chose the word Kena HaKel, we usually translate the creator of everything, or another similar translation. But why did they use the word Kena, that He buys everything? Specifically, according to Chassidic philosophy, do we see the significance of this idea of Kena HaKel, that Hashem gives us the kesef, He gives us the money, a gift from above. After we have done all the effort on our part, then He gives us the extra gift of Av Rabba, a love we could not realize through our own efforts. However, the Tzemach Tzedek explains in Derech Mitzvah Secha that occasionally people give the money first. First comes the money, and then comes the Mashicha. How could this apply if Hashem gives Kesef, gives us the gift from above, only after we have done our effort, the Mashicha? What is the significance of giving the money first? And he explains that Hashem gives us the power to achieve this Mashicha, that even our lower level of Avazuta, the type of love we can reach through our own meditation, even this God gives us the power for. And this is the ability which comes from above. First, we are given the ability to realize and actualize this love for Hashem. And this is the type of kesef, the kind of gift from above, which comes first, before the Mashicha. Afterwards, the person utilizes this ability and meditates on the greatness of Hashem and arouses in himself a love for Hashem, Avazuta, the lower type. And afterwards, there's another level of kesef, another gift, the type of money which comes after the Mashiach has taken place, that God then gives the gift from above, the Av Rabba, which we could not reach through our own effort. And the Tzemach Tzedek continues that this is also the sod, the mystical secret behind the blessings we make before doing a mitzvah. Why do we make blessings before mitzvahs? And why does the blessing have to be before the mitzvah is done? When we do the mitzvah, we are elevating the object we are working with and bringing it up to a higher level. Well, this is the idea of Mashiach, raising things up from one level and bringing them to a higher level. But first, we have to have the power to do this, as we just explained that sometimes the money comes first, which is the power which Hashem gives us from above that we should be able to raise ourselves up. And so too in a mitzvah, when we're speaking of elevating objects in the physical world, first we have to bring down an influence and a revelation from above. And this is the idea of the blessing we make beforehand. That the word bracha comes from an expression of bricha. Bricha means to bring down, to bring down from a higher level a revelation, which will allow us to elevate the mitzvah and bring it up. And therefore the blessing has to be before the mitzvah itself. First we say the bracha, the bricha, we bring down a revelation from above. This gives us the ability that through performance of the mitzvah, we can elevate things above. And this is the Mashiach, which comes after the bracha, after the power which Hashem gives us to elevate things. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.